Hello, and welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tuddenham, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. The programme today is going to be rather special, because unlike previous programmes, I'm not going to be playing any 78s at all. Every record you'll hear today is recorded on something completely different from the usual shellac and slate dust discs that you find by the hundred in junk shops. The first record I found today must be well over a quarter of an inch thick. It was known as a diamond disc, and it runs at 80 revolutions per minute. It's the Imperial Marimba Band playing Dance of the Nightingales. Dance of the Nightingales, played by the Imperial Marimba Band on an Edison diamond disc. Besides running at 80 revs per minute, this record also had a different type of recording system from the better-known gramophone discs. On an ordinary monophonic record, the sound waves are recorded in the groove as side-to-side wiggles. The groove is said to be laterally modulated. But the groove on Edison discs and cylinders wiggled up and down, officially called vertical modulation, but more popularly known as hill and dale recording. The other thing that makes this record special is the material used to manufacture it. At this point, I must explain that ordinary gramophone records are most definitely not made of Bakelite, but Edison ones are. When Edison was experimenting with disc materials, he found that thermosetting resins gave an incredibly hard-wearing surface, At about the same time, Leo Bakeland was attempting to patent his thermosetting resin Bakelite for household articles. Legend has it that the two inventors came to a gentleman's agreement to each keep the material for their own purpose and not to infringe upon the other's market, thereby avoiding the cost of futile legal wrangling. Edison discs were of very high recording quality, but the complex process needed to make them proved unsuitable for quantity production, and they eventually disappeared from the market in the late 1920s. By 1924, when our next record was made, a lot of the conveniences of modern life were already beginning to put in an appearance, particularly in America. There was plenty of speculation on the direction life was going, and the next song from that date takes a look 75 years into the future, to 1999.
There lives a man next door to me who thinks he's very wise. A see all, know all, can't fool me. You've met those kind of guys. At prophesying what to be, he thinks that he's a bear. He'll stop you any time at all and loudly will declare. In 1999, in 1999, although today we ride in style, they look back on us and smile. In 1999, it surely will be fine. We'll have a lady president in 1999. Yes, I'll admit we're better off than back in 61, 'cause radio and moving pictures hadn't quite begun. And I've been gazing at the stars and got things figured out. There's no one in this world but me knows what that's all about. In 1999, in 1999, I reckon you know what I mean. We'll be drinking gasoline in 1999. They'll even come a time they won't write any mammy songs in 1999. I let you in on something else, but don't you tell a soul. This money that we spend today, they'll use that stuff for coal. These vampire women nowadays are wearing less and less, but they'll be wearing less and less in 99, I reckon. In 1999, for 10 or 20 cents, I guess, you can buy the wife a dress in 1999. It won't be any crime to have a dozen wives or so in 1999. The men and women nowadays get married just for fun. But when they try to get unhitched, their troubles start by gum. They hire a liar just to swear each other's not to blame. The things they accuse each other of, it drives the judge insane. But in 1999, in 1999, there'll be no jury to declare what is what, for they won't care. In 1999, divorce will take no time. They leave them flat and say that's that, 1999.
That was Al Bernard on an Edison Diamond disc singing in 1999. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. The next recording isn't a disc at all. It's on a roll of perforated paper. To find out more about paper roll recordings, I went to visit Paul Morris, who lives in Exeter and has a house full of unusual musical instruments. So, Paul, we're sitting here in your front room, surrounded by boxes and boxes of what you've shown me are paper rolls. Now, can you explain what these paper rolls were actually used for?
Yes, the paper rolls that I've got fall into two classes. Firstly, we've got pianola rolls, which play on a piano, and secondly, organ rolls, which play on the pipe organ, which is in the room next door to us. The paper rolls are actually a recording in as much that they contain the musical information which allow the piano to play the notes. So if you were to take a roll out of the box and look at it now, it would just look like a sheet of paper with just many holes in it, some short, some long, corresponding to the notes in the music. I suppose it looks like a piece of paper that somebody's held up and fired a shotgun at. The rolls are read by a brass strip which has got 88 holes in it, and the paper itself also has holes. And so when one of these holes coincides with one of the holes on the brass tracker bar, then a note is played. The pneumatic mechanism which makes this work is quite complicated, but simply put, the paper acts as sort of an activator which sets open a valve, and the valve makes a little pneumatic motor or bellows work which plays the piano from behind the hammer. You've got a vast amount of notes recorded on these rolls, but the operator still has to put the expression in the form of the louds and the softs and the fasts and the slows by using levers and various other controls on the pianola.
So what is the difference between a pianola and this special piano that you have here?
Well, towards the beginning of the First World War, the Aeolian Company brought out a method of recording the pianist's expression. In other words, when the pianist played loudly or softly, then they had a means of encoding that in the form of additional holes that went either side of the roll of note holes. This system was known as duo art. The exact meaning of duo art isn't always clear, but something along the lines that it allowed the artist to interpret his music on your piano, and if you wanted to, you could interpret the roll in your own way. So there were two arts involved. Duo art pianos are relatively rare nowadays, probably one in every 500 were a duo art, and most of them haven't survived. But the one we're going to hear in just a moment is one that I've only just acquired. I've done no real work on it, but it still plays reasonably well, and you get some idea of the sort of expression that one of the artists on the rolls that we're going to hear actually used when they were playing. Well, I'm taking the roll out of the box now, and this is March of the Little Lead Soldiers, Opus 14, number 6 by H.C.G. Pierney, and it's played by Harold Bauer and Myra Hess. Thank you.
March of the Little Lead Soldiers, played on that digital recording from 1920 by Harold Bauer and Myra Hess. No, you didn't mishear me. That is just as much a digital recording as a MIDI file would be nowadays. The sound is recorded as a series of on or off commands, and it's up to the playback device to turn it into recognisable sounds. Another application for the digital duo art system, which Paul Morris mentioned in passing, was the pipe organ. This was the Aeolian Company's main business, and Paul has managed to acquire one of these massive instruments, which occupies an entire room in his house. The Aeolian Company used to boast that they could fit one of their pipe organs into any house, although they probably didn't have a Victorian terraced house in Exeter in mind when they made that claim. Anyone who could afford Aeolian's prices was likely to own the sort of house which would easily swallow a pipe organ. Another of Aeolian's claims was that their pipe organs could imitate an entire orchestra, and that was very nearly true. The various pipe ranks are called strings, oboes, clarinets, etc., and with the exception of the strings, they compare very well with the real thing. They also had a number of novelty ranks. Not quite the full kitchen department of a large cinema organ, but fairly respectable nevertheless. Here is a duo art roll of a charming piece by Logan called Pale Moon, played on Paul Morris's Aeolian No. 1431. And it's quite easy to forget that you are actually hearing a pipe organ. Thank you. Pale Moon by Logan, played by a duo art role on the Aeolian pipe organ. We'll be hearing more from that organ in future programmes. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Another type of recording which competed strongly with the disc right up to the 1930s was the cylinder record. They are very often referred to as wax cylinders, but Edison, with his passion for getting things just right, soon replaced wax with a tough, smooth plastic called cellulose nitrate. Edison overcame some of the self-destructive properties of nitrate in his Amber Old series of cylinder records, and many of them have survived quite well. Unfortunately, the core material has a tendency to warp, and a slightly oval cylinder exhibits a distinctly unstable musical pitch when it's played. We're coming to our last piece today, so this is Adrian Tuddenham, looking forward to having your company again next week and bidding you farewell with an Edison Blue Amber Old Cylinder of Charles Darb playing Songbird Intermezzo. ¶¶